Welcome to the introductory unit of the Quality Improvement and Health Information Technology course. This course has been designed to examine the critical relationship of healthcare quality and health information technology. In Unit 1.1, we will explore the concept of healthcare quality and the role of health information technology in advancing the quality of healthcare. The objectives of Unit 1.1 are to identify the current challenges that we face with respect to healthcare quality, to examine the components of the healthcare system that have an impact on quality, examine healthcare quality and quality improvement, and describe quality improvement as a goal of meaningful use of health information technology. First, a definition of healthcare is in order. The definition that frames the work of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality is as follows. Healthcare seeks to diagnose, treat, and improve the physical and mental well-being of all Americans. Across the lifespan, healthcare helps us stay healthy, recover from illness, live with chronic disease or disability, and cope with death and dying. Quality healthcare, according to the AHRQ, delivers these services in a way that is safe, effective, timely, patient-centered, efficient, and equitable. This federal agency is committed to helping the nation improve our healthcare system. Sadly, Americans too often don't receive the care that they need, or they receive care that causes harm. Care can also be delivered too late or without full consideration of a patient's preferences and values. Many times, our healthcare system distributes services inefficiently and unevenly across populations. So, who defines healthcare quality? Lots of people do, and each does so from his own unique perspective. Take healthcare providers, for instance. They're more likely to view quality as the application of evidence-based professional knowledge to the needs of individual patients. Patients and families, on the other hand, place more importance on how the provider talks with them, or how they have to sit in the waiting room for hours and hours on end. Payers value patient satisfaction and use of preventive services rather than focusing on clinical outcomes of the patient. And regulatory bodies like the Joint Commission or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or even professional organizations like the American Medical Association, view quality as conforming to their standards. The Institute of Medicine defines quality as the degree to which health services for individuals and populations increase the likelihood of desired outcomes and are consistent with current professional knowledge.
Hey, my name is Peter Green. I'm the Chief Medical Information Officer here at Johns Hopkins Medicine. Okay, so there are three things that I think are immensely important to understand about health IT and electronic health records when you look to try to improve quality by deploying health IT. And they're not always the most obvious things about, everyone gets focused on a lot of specific features of the system, but there are three underlying principles that are important. The first is that this is fundamentally a communication tool, and that's the most important thing that the system does. It helps every member of the team communicate effectively with one another, and that function supersedes any advanced decision support or other capability of the system. The second is that it facilitates bringing a team of care providers together around a patient. It's basically a tool for supporting huddles around care of the patient. And in fact, I always like to think of the most important feature of a system is it's the system that everyone uses. That's the most important feature of any EMR system. And then the third fundamental capability is that it becomes a part of the system. It is literally a member of the team with the care other members of the care team. And that can be good, it can be bad, but it's reality. And so if you have to absolutely step back and say, as a result of having this system as a part of our care process, as a part of our team, how do we have to re-envision the process to make sure that it becomes an effective team member?
Is it a stretch getting clinicians to think of it as a system, as a part of the system?
You know, I think what I see increasingly now is that the clinicians accept it as a part of the system. And it's very important to have a quality improvement process that is just like what we had with other care processes, where we can say, okay, what went wrong, what went right, and we're not make sure that people don't get defensive about the system. They just recognize that it is a part of the team now. And have we asked it to do something that it can do well, or have we asked it to do something that it can't do well, that we need some other person or part of the system to do well?
And so as a system, it's an iterative process. Do clinicians understand agility like business people understand agility in the marketplace?
I don't think they do. I don't think that's it's not a common term that you hear, but they do understand care improvement processes. That's a familiar way of thinking of the system. And it's increasingly clinicians are able to get away from just focusing on the features of the system and start thinking about, okay, how can we take better care of the patient? And that's what we have to keep coming back to.
And so what role do you play in your position now as far as QI goes?
So I'm a Chief Medical Information Officer here at Hopkins Medicine, and I also co-chair the Quality Improvement Committee. And what we do with that committee is we have a group that comes together a couple of times a month that looks at all the issues that have been brought up about the system and basically walks through them, figuring out which ones are ones that we can improve in the way we configured the system, which ones are features that we need the vendor to work on, and which things are things that we need our teams to do better in caring for the patient. And we basically segregate all the issues that come up into those three areas. And then we run a series of improvement projects making those improvements. And we filter a huge amount of input that comes through all kinds of sources to try to crystallize what needs to be improved into a series of projects that we then run throughout the year.
You mentioned vendors. Is there a large-scale effort on Hopkins employees also in the IT sector working on their own designs and things like that, or is a lot outsourced?
You know, for the most part, we for the most part are involved in configuring systems that come from other places, but we are very engaged in giving feedback to the vendors, and then we do an awful lot with the, we try to select systems that have a lot of configurability, and then we do an awful lot of design of the system to meet very unique and difficult requirements.
So can you speak to the types of systems that you're talking about? What does the system entail? A particular, you know, an example of a system.
So from a standpoint of quality, the system that's most important is the one that handles the ordering process, computerized order entry systems. That's where you find the most challenge with respect to trying to guide the clinicians into doing the right thing for the patient, and also the ones where you are most intimate or perhaps intrusive with workflow, where you have to really be very thoughtful about how the system is designed or how the people taking care of the patient need to change their process as they use the system. And when we look at in the quality improvement feedback that we get about our electronic systems, almost all of the issues or complaints or problems come up around order entry. But that's actually not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because that means that you have opportunity to make significant improvements in the care of the patient. So we have big teams. We've had big teams around deploying order entry, also around clinical documentation. But I think from the quality standpoint, most of the issues come up around implementing CPOE.
Mm-hmm. So medical personnel and IT personnel are working together in the system as far as getting these things on track.
That's right.
Any advice that you would give to someone working in the IT end? This training program that we're doing is for people who would approach this from an associate's degree level first and perhaps work into positions that don't exist yet.
Okay.
Any advice that you would give to someone looking to move into this field? You know, what should they be aware of?
Okay, so a couple things come to mind. One is that the most important thing on any of these projects is to build a great team that spans a diverse collection of talents across IT and the clinical world. And I'm my job is very much about making sure that that's a highly effective team and ensuring that that first of all, in terms of being effective, it's immensely important that the clinicians lead the effort. They're the ones that are going to use the system to take care of patients. IT people often have stronger project management understanding, project management skills, often have more time to devote to the project. But I think that in building a team of IT people and clinicians, it's very important that they understand that the clinician need to lead the change process that has to go along with deploying the system. And so it's important that you build that shared vision of what you're going to be doing, and that each group, that the groups work together in a highly effective way. We recently rolled out, to give an example, electronic documentation in the Department of Medicine here at Hopkins for well over a couple of hundred beds. And one thing really remarkable about the project is that right before go live, you could look at the way the team was working together across IT and clinicians. And you knew that not only were things going to go well, that they were ready and that the go live was going to happen well, but even if there was some major issue that was going to come up, that the team had such skills at working together as a part of the development that they were going to be able to handle any of those skills. And one of the things that I do in my role as you're beginning the project and throughout the project is to just raise my hand when I don't feel like there is that good teamwork present, and to try to address that issue directly and figure out why we have it or why we don't have it, and ask the group as a specific goal to have that kind of team functioning, highly effective team going into any kind of deployment.
One thing that we've talked about is we're developing the project team part of the course that we're doing is the changing role of leadership in project development. Is that something that happens in the course of a rollout or a...
Well, I guess I'm sure the role does change dramatically from when you're sort of in a design and consensus gathering stage compared to when you're actually trying to change care systems and take care of patients more effectively. And I often realize that there are different kinds of people that are effective at those different phases. And it's important to get the right kind of contributor and leader in both aspects of that process. So I think what you mentioned is that is
particularly
important.
I think, you know, we've had some discussion around, quite bluntly, you know, the people that will be taking this course of study are at the associate's degree level, and why do they need to know about leadership if they're not going to be leaders, you know? And I don't know, maybe you could speak to that. What's the importance of me as an associate degree person coming in in an entry-level job understanding the role of a leader?
Well, it's all about, to me, it's all about influence and your ability as a member of a team, you can have a leadership role even if you don't have a leadership title. And that's immensely important to be setting the tone. Yeah. I thought that was the musical accompaniment you were talking.
Sorry about that. Can you figure out how to turn it off? No idea. My daughter got me that. You had talked about.
So on that note, I'll give a specific example. We were deploying order entry in our neonatal ICU. And this is a very high acuity, challenging, high-risk environment with immense complexity. And we were pushing the limits of what the IT system can do in terms of order entry and handling the complexity of routine care. And at one point, all the clinicians in the room were just absolutely feeling overwhelmed with all that we had to get done and all the complexity that we were facing. And one of the IT people on the team got up as a part of the agenda and sat up at the front of the room ready to present something. And it was having to do with how to handle backup and basically failover capability for unexpected downtimes. And everybody could look
information quicker from the hospital, from the physician, to the home care agency.
And what role are you playing now? I think you may have already addressed that, but if we could just have you read. Great.
Can I answer? Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about how quality improvement or the quality improvement effort fits into your role, into your work, and what you feel the interface or the interchange between healthcare IT, how healthcare IT interfaces with the quality improvement?
Well, I think quality improvement in home care, and most home care agencies are required to collect specific data. You know, for example, where we assessed functional status. So during the course of home care, does the patient improve in functional status? Do they improve in mobility? Do they improve in medication compliance? So there are a number of quality monitors that a home health agency is required to collect. And then that information is actually posted on a website through CMS that any patient can, or a community member can go and monitor. So it's a very regulated industry to begin with. The second phase of what's coming in there is the patient satisfaction. We are going to be posting the patient satisfaction findings onto website later this year. So those are a part of our everyday. I think from the hospital handoff perspective, I think the quality measures, we look at whether or not the referral was complete. You know, just simply, were the lines filled out properly? Did the home care nurse have all the required telephone numbers that were needed so that they could get a hold of a patient? You know, for example, we have a lot of international patients. They might go to a hotel. So not having the hotel telephone number might result in us not being able to locate a patient. So that's an example of something that we audit in the quality perspective. The other audits that we do is to make sure that the end user, the home health nurse, has all the clinical information they need. So we do get feedback from the home health nurse on whether or not that referral was complete and whether or not it met the requirements that they had in the home. So for example, if the patient has a wound in the hospital and the home care coordinator doesn't document that and then the nurse finds that in the home, they wouldn't have the supplies they needed for it. They wouldn't have any orders to take care of it. So it would delay care. It would delay care and it could create an unsafe situation.
Okay.
Any answer?
Okay.
Am I answering okay?
Yes. Or
am I, okay.
Yes,
okay.
You
okay.
Are. Now, this is going to be kind of a wrap up, kind of a summation.
Okay.
So you may repeat some of the things you've already said.
Okay.
But I'm just going to pitch this as just a kind of wrap up statement. So this is what we'd like you to consider answering, a statement on what quality health care means to you.
Okay.
With reference to characteristics that reflect how information systems can help to achieve that vision in your healthcare setting. That's it.
Information systems can help improve quality, and I focus on the handoff between the hospital to the home. It can assist first by being accurate and timely. By having access to information in a computer system, our home care clinicians can access that now. Versus in the past, the medical record in the hospital was a piece of paper that we could not access. So just being able for a home infusion pharmacist to be able to access lab results, to access when was the last dose of vancomycin given, automatically improves healthcare. So we are there now. So from a quality perspective, having access is critical. The second piece of that is being able to have accurate communication between the physician, the clinicians, is a quality measure to me. And what I mean when I say that is a physician might order home care, but if they don't have a clear understanding of the type of orders that we need in order to make it regulatory compliant as well as reimbursable by insurers, that's not going to be quality to the patient, because if they get a big bill for a piece of equipment because the physician didn't write the order properly, that's not going to be defined as quality. It's because it's going to result in a complaint. So another example to me is making sure that we can work with the healthcare team to make sure all of our orders are compliant with all the various regulations. And by having information technology, we're able to work with the physicians in a whole different way. So for example, if they write an oxygen order and just say oxygen at home, you know, we can call them back and say, well, we actually need the liter flow. We need the mode of administration. We need to know, is it continuous or is it, you know, as needed? So then they can rewrite the order, get it into the computer system, and then we can act quicker, which I think also is a measure of quality in being able to discharge a patient quickly and safely. I think the last measure of quality in health information to me is getting that two-way exchange between the healthcare providers on the inpatient side, the physician side, and the home care side. And to me, this is more futuristic, that we're able, as home care providers, to be able to provide even better information back to the healthcare, back to the physicians and the team. Right now, we're able to provide some level of our information back, but not to the level that I think the future will bring more opportunities there.
Great. Okay, I think that's a wrap. Oh, is it
okay? Did I say uh-huh. Okay?
So for me, quality and safety are the same thing, and I think in particularly outpatient areas, when there's so many people who touch the patient's care, so many people who are involved as part of the team, and that includes the patient's family, all the different care providers. There's so many folks who need to know what's going on with the patient, that IT is just an incredibly important part of that. The ability to be able to communicate with one another easily, to know all the members of the team, and to communicate with one another is as simple as it can be.
When relating the concept of quality to healthcare, we've seen a shift in focus over time from structures, or having the right things, to processes, doing things right, and most recently to outcomes, or having the right things happen. Most work in healthcare quality has been grounded in Donna Beadian's framework of structure, process, and outcome. This framework is essentially linear in that structures affect processes, which in turn affect outcomes. So in practical terms, working in a hot environment affects the speed at which workers are able to accomplish their tasks, which, in turn, affects the quantity of products they deliver. But healthcare is complex, and a linear model just doesn't capture these complexities. A dynamic model reflects the interactions among the various components of the systems of healthcare. We know that feedback occurs among all parts of the system. This includes the people who get health care, which could be an individual patient, a family, or an entire community. The people who deliver the health care, whether they are individual practitioners, group practices, or entire health care organizations. the care that is actually delivered, and the results or outcomes of that care. Dr. Donald Berwick, the new chief of Medicare and Medicaid, is a prominent leader in healthcare quality and the founder of the Institute of Healthcare Improvement. He has dedicated his career to improving patient outcomes and providing better healthcare at lower cost. Dr. Berwick tells us that system performance depends not only on the elements of that system, but on the interaction among these elements. He goes on to say that healthcare improvement depends on systems thinking and redesign, and that healthcare reform without attention to the nature and the nurture of healthcare as a system is doomed. To quote Dr. Berwick, "It will, at best, simply feed the beast, pouring precious resources into the overdevelopment of parts and never attending to the whole, that is, care as our patients, their families, and their communities experience it." So, what does it mean to improve healthcare quality? In 2001, the Committee on the Quality of Healthcare in America instituted a landmark Institute of Medicine report that made an urgent call for fundamental change to close the quality gap, recommending a redesign of the American health system and providing overarching principles for specific direction for policymakers, healthcare leaders, clinicians, regulators, purchasers, and others. This report identified 6 aims of quality improvement. These aims state that healthcare should be safe, effective, patient-centered, timely, efficient, and equitable. In 2007, the Institute of Healthcare Improvement began work to accomplish 3 critical objectives, which they call the Triple Aim. The Triple Aim is designed to optimize health, the healthcare experience, and cost for population. That is, to provide the best care for the whole population at the lowest cost. So how are we doing in terms of healthcare quality? Each year, the AHRQ partners with the Department of Health and Human Services to report on our progress and opportunities for improving healthcare quality. In 2009, the report concluded that the U.S. healthcare system needs to be improved, especially for the uninsured, and that patient safety and healthcare-associated infections warrant our urgent attention. Although quality is improving, the pace is slow, especially in preventive care and management of chronic disease. Some Americans receive healthcare that is worse than others. These disparities are often due to differences in access to healthcare, provider biases, poor provider-patient communication, and poor health literacy. The AHRQ tracks gaps where some people receive poor or worse health care than others and looks for improvements over time. Emphasis is on race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status, but also includes attention to broadly defined priority populations, groups with unique health care needs, or issues that require special focus, such as recent immigrants or people with limited English proficiency, women or children, older adults, residents of rural areas, and disabled individuals. Since we aren't where we need to be, what do we need to do to accelerate healthcare quality improvement? The AHRQ recommends 4 steps. We need to improve measurement by developing new measures, including the improvement goals in Healthy People 2020, and coordinating these measure sets. We need to remove barriers to quality care, such as reducing lack of insurance. We need to empower providers with health information technology that supports quality improvement and training to assure its appropriate use. And we need to establish lasting partnerships to lead change. You may ask, what is included in the term health information technology, and how can it help with healthcare? The benefit of HIT is that it allows for comprehensive management of medical information and secure exchange of this information across healthcare settings and those that interact with these settings, including both patients and providers. Most of our interest in increasing the use of health information technology is its potential to improve the quality of healthcare as we know it, to increase our ability to achieve the six aims of quality improvement and the triple aim. Not only does health IT have the potential to improve quality and prevent medical errors, but it also has the ability to increase efficiencies of all kinds, reduce cost, and decrease paperwork. HIT also has the potential to expand access to affordable care and improve population health. The Institute of Medicine has played a large role in focusing our attention on the important role of HIT in healthcare quality and safety. The IOM report, The Computer-Based Record, an Essential Technology for Healthcare, originally written in 1991 and revised in 1997, heralded computer-based patient records as playing an important role in improving quality of patient care and strengthening the scientific basis of clinical practice, and recommended that computer-based records be a standard technology in healthcare within a decade. The publication of To Err is Human and Crossing the Quality Chasm ensued, calling attention to the importance of HIT in developing safer systems and assuring quality of care. These landmark works became major catalysts to a new era of focus on patient safety and healthcare quality. A subsequent publication, Patient Safety, A New Standard of Care, combined this spotlight on quality improvement with the growing movement to foster use of information technology in the healthcare system and produced a detailed roadmap for developing healthcare data standards. The IOM also directed attention to the need for educational reform in this new era of information technology. An interdisciplinary summit to restructure the education of healthcare professionals called for the integration of a core set of competencies, including both quality improvement and informatics. The national mood is reflective of a complex healthcare system that is plagued by exorbitant healthcare spending and quality and safety concerns. The National Coalition on Healthcare in 2007 reported that total healthcare expenditures make up 16% of the gross domestic product and are expected to reach $4.2 trillion in 2016. The NCHC also reported that there were over 47 million uninsured Americans in 2006, and that this number has risen by almost 9 million people since 2000. The current administration has continued to respond to a national call to have computerized health records by 2014. The American Reinvestment and Recovery Act of 2009 has authorized the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to provide reimbursement incentives for eligible providers and hospitals who can demonstrate that they use certified electronic health records in a meaningful way. This act has high-tech provisions to establish programs under CMS in coordination with the Office of the National Coordinator under the direction of Dr. David Blumenthal. The goals of meaningful use are clearly geared toward achieving both the Institute of Medicine aims of quality improvement and the IHI's triple aim. Meaningful use of electronic health records means that use of these records improves quality, safety, and efficiency of care, engages patients and families in their care, improves coordination of care, improves population and public health and reduces disparities, and ensures privacy and security protections for all. To qualify for federal incentives, users of certified electronic health records must demonstrate that they meet these criteria. Meaningful use criteria will be released in three stages. 2011 Stage 1 criteria are directed towards capturing and sharing data. The objective of Stage 2 criteria for 2013 is to advance healthcare processes with decision support. And in 2015, or Stage 3, meaningful use criteria will be targeted at improving outcomes. Stage 1 criteria address the priority of improving quality, safety, efficiency, and equity of healthcare. The ability to qualify for meaningful use incentives begins in 2011. The goals of Stage 1 criteria are fourfold. First, eligible providers and hospitals must electronically capture health information in a coded format. Then, they must be able to demonstrate that they use that information to track key clinical conditions for quality improvement purposes. Thirdly, they must be able to communicate that information to other care providers to ensure coordination of care. And finally, they need to lay the foundation for reporting clinical quality measures and public health information. Criteria have been divided into two sets: a core set, which must be met by all eligible providers, hospitals, and critical access hospitals in order to qualify for incentives, and a menu of additional criteria from which they must select any five choices to receive incentives. The core set of criteria for Stage 1 includes recording sex, race, ethnicity, date of birth, preferred language, and, in the case of hospitals, date and preliminary cause of death in the event of mortality. The core set also includes recording vital signs, specifically height, weight, blood pressure, body mass index, and growth charts in children, and charting changes in these vital signs. Other requirements include maintaining up-to-date problem, active medication, an active medication allergy list, and recording smoking status in patients age 13 and older. Stage 1 core criteria require providers to generate and transmit electronic prescriptions, and both hospitals and providers to use computerized provider order entry for medication orders. Both hospitals and eligible providers must also implement drug-drug and drug-allergy interaction checking. Additional Stage 1 criteria include providing patients with office visit clinical summaries and electronic copies of hospital discharge instructions and health information on request, implementing electronic exchange of key clinical information among providers and patient-authorized entities, implementing and tracking compliance with a single clinical decision support rule, implementing systems to protect patient privacy and security, and reporting clinical quality measures to CMS or states. hospitals and eligible providers must select 5 additional measures among the menu set. This includes, for stage 1, implementing drug formulary checks, incorporating laboratory test results into the electronic record as structured data, generating list of patients by specific clinical conditions for use in quality improvement, reduction of disparities, research, or community outreach, identifying and providing patient-specific education resources, and performing medication reconciliation between care settings. Additional menu items for both hospitals and eligible providers include providing summary of care records for patients referred to or transferred to another provider or setting, and submitting electronic immunization and surveillance data to registries or public health agencies. Menu items for hospitals and critical access hospitals only include recording advance directives for patients age 65 or older and submitting electronic data on reportable laboratory results to public health agencies. Advance directives are healthcare instructions, also known as living wills, and designation of individuals or healthcare agents identified by the patient to make healthcare decisions in the event that the patient is unable to do so. Additional menu items for eligible providers only include sending reminders to patients according to the patient's preference for preventive and follow-up care, and providing patients with timely electronic access to their health information, specifically lab results, problems, and medication lists and allergy lists. Eligible providers must report on 3 core quality improvement measures in 2011 and 2012. These include blood pressure level, tobacco status, and adult weight screening and follow-up. They can choose from an alternate list if these don't apply to their patient population. In addition, they must choose 3 measures from the complete list of metrics ready for incorporation into electronic health records. So they have to report on a total of 6 measures. The final rule on meaningful use limits the clinical quality measures that must be reported by hospitals to those measures that have existing electronic specification as of the date of display of the final rule. Hospitals are only required to submit that information that can be automatically calculated by their certified EHR technology. Requirements for clinical quality measure reporting for eligible hospitals and critical access hospitals are 15 measures that were electronically specified and posted at the time of publishing the proposed rule. These include 2 measures that address emergency department throughput, such as the median time a person arrives in the emergency department until that patient is admitted to an inpatient unit, 7 measures that address ischemic or hemorrhagic stroke, or when blood vessels clog and don't supply blood to the brain, or when they rupture, causing blood to leak to the brain, and 6 measures that address venous thromboembolism, or blood clots that form in the vein and can obstruct blood flow. It is generally understood that rarely will organizations be able to become completely electronic. To quote Holland, even hospitals with fully functioning EMRs still make extensive use of digitalized scans of manually completed forms and textual checklists. With no forms or screens to capture data in a structured way, hospitals fail to report quality measures as a routine byproduct of the practices, relying instead on a retrospective chart abstracting process. the complexities of quality measure reporting have not yet been completely understood, and much of your effort as HIT professionals will be directed towards finding ways to manage this complexity. In summary, the healthcare system in the United States is improving, but progress is slow. The definition of healthcare quality has changed over time, from having the right things to doing the right thing to having the right things happen in a dynamic system. When HIT is used in a meaningful way, it can improve safety, effectiveness, efficiency, equity, timeliness, and patient-centeredness of health care. HIT can work to accomplish the best care for the whole population at the lowest cost.